We have been looking at the names of the Lord, and we will continue to do so throughout the Advent season. And we encourage you to participate in ways that you can do at home. We have offered to you a little booklet called Blessed Be the Name. Kent, if you're back there, there are some on the table. If you are a visitor or if you have not yet received yours, this is for everybody that attends our church, whether a visitor or a regular member or attendee. If you would just raise your hand if you did not get one, Kent will make sure that you get one. I see a few people that I hadn't seen here before that have not received it. Make sure you get one. And what we're asking you to do is just use this as a devotional guide during the Advent season. There is a study for every day of the 40 days prior to Advent. And we want husbands and wives to have one, and even the children can have one. Kent, over here, there's some more. Oh, you got lots of people over here. He's wandering to and fro in the earth. That's great. Wonderful. And we have more. And if we run out, we'll make more. We've got plenty, and we want you to participate in this way. Each day is a different devotional on a different name of the Lord from the Old Testament. And you don't have to do it in chronological order. You can skip about and look for a name that you're interested in and read that. And we pray that the Lord's blessing will be on you as we do so. This morning we are looking into the scriptures in Exodus chapter 17, and the name of the Lord that we're studying this morning is Jehovah Nissi. Can everybody say that with me? Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi means the Lord our banner. The Lord our banner. And it comes from Exodus chapter 17, an event that took place in Moses' life. It's early on in their sojourn in the wilderness. They have crossed the Red Sea. They have come into the Promised Land. A number of miracles have been done. But now they face an enemy, the Amalekites, people that were warriors and they were fearsome. And the Israelites, who were not warriors, were going down to battle with them. So it was a very nervous time. It was a very frightening time for the people of Israel. The first battle, and not knowing exactly how to fight battles, nor did they have the equipment that the enemy had, they faced an insurmountable obstacle. And so as we read this, I want you to keep that in mind as Moses does some unusual things to win the battle. I'm beginning the reading with verse 8, Exodus chapter 17. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him and sat on it, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekites' army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. He said, "For hands were lifted to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." Let's ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Heavenly Father, as we open the word this morning, we know that our ears need to be open, just as we have prayed that anthem, Lord, that you would open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts to receive the word of God. I pray that you would use these feeble words that I speak, that they would be saturated with the word of God and the truth of God's word. You said the entrance of your word gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. So, Lord, give us understanding today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As I've studied the names of the Lord, we began with Proverbs 18:10, which says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe." And that's a promise. There are over 700 names of the Lord. Some estimate 1,000 names of the Lord that are contained in Scripture. Every one of those names is given to you as a child of God. God gives you those names so that you can use those names to call on Him, to claim before Him before the throne of God, the mighty power of the Lord and who He is. All of those names describe some characteristic of the Lord our God. This morning we look at Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. It is an important principle. It is an important name to understand that the Lord is our banner. As I first read this passage, I looked at it and thought, that's wonderful that Moses called the name of the place Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. But then I looked through the context and I said, there's no banner in this story. Why is Moses saying the Lord is my banner? How does that fit with all this? And so I'm going to walk you through some of the details of looking at the passage and finding out why he's calling the Lord his banner. And it will help you to understand. For those of you that are curious and those that got here early enough, you saw my walking sticks that are at the back of the sanctuary. They're there for you to look at. And we hope that you will enjoy them. And I want to stimulate your pure minds that even you should have a staff or a walking stick like Moses did. Let me give some background to what took place here. Moses was called of God at the burning bush. Remember that? Everybody say, And then the Lord gave him his name, which was Jehovah. And he said, I will be with you. Of course, Moses was timid and he said, I can't do it. And finally, the third time, the Lord said, what's in your hand? And he said, just my walking stick. And God said, give it to me. And so Moses gave the walking stick to the Lord, laid it on the ground. It turned into a snake. And the Lord said, see, I am with you. This is the sign that I am with you. This walking stick is a representation of my power. When you go to Pharaoh, throw it down on the ground and it will become a serpent. And then when the time comes, reach down and pick it up by the tail and it will turn back into the walking stick. God did some wonderful miracles through Moses and through the walking stick because God had a plan for that stick. It represented God's power and God's victory over all the power of the enemy. We find all through the story of Moses, with all the plagues, he used the staff, the rod, the authority that God gave him to do those miracles. He put it over the waters, they turned to blood. He did all those miracles with the staff in his hand as a symbol that the Lord is present with him and the Lord is victorious over all the power of the enemy. That with that in mind, Moses is now facing the first battle against enemies, the Amalekites. They were a fearsome people. They were a people that were warriors. In fact, they had attacked Egypt and won some land from them. And so they were among the mightiest people on the face of the earth. They have come against the Israelites to stop them in their journey. And Moses says, Joshua, I want you to take some men and go down and fight against them. Now, you got to get the context here. They are not warriors. These were farmers. These were bricklayers. These were guys that made bricks. They didn't know how to fight battles. They didn't have swords. They didn't have all the other stuff. Although they might have taken some of that from Egypt, they were not experienced in warfare. But Moses says to Joshua, Joshua, I want you to take some men. Okay, if you have 100,000 Amalekites, how many men would you take against them? More than just a couple. So I imagine a lot of the men from the 12 tribes armed themselves with sticks and perhaps tools that they used in the fields. And some of them would have had swords and spears, but they went against this enemy. And Joshua was commanded to go and fight the battle. And Moses says this, and I will go up to the top of the hill. I'm going to go up to the top of the hill and I'm going to pray for you. Isn't that great? When you're sent out to battle, somebody says, I'm going to pray for you. Good luck. Well, there was no good luck about it. God was with them, and Moses went up to the top of the mountain, and he said he went there with a staff in his hand. Don't miss that. He went there with a staff in his hands. And as the story unfolds, Moses raised his hands with his staff. He raised his hands and prayed for Joshua and the men that were in the battle. And as he prayed with the staff lifted high and his hands lifted to heaven, the battle went well. But how long can Pastor Dick hold the staff over his head? Your arms get heavy and they start to fall. And so every time Moses got a little unstable and it started to fall, the battle went against the people of Israel. And so Aaron and Hur, not a female, H-U-R, Hur was there, his helpers. And they stood next to him and they helped him with his arms. And they were so kind, because they saw that the preacher got tired of standing, and so they put a stone under him, a rock, and he could sit down. let it be a lesson to all of you. Sometimes I might need to sit down, and my Aarons and Herd need to come up here and stand beside me and maybe support my chair. Hopefully it'll be a long time before I'm that old. But Moses was helped by Aaron and Hur. The key to this was that Moses raised the staff of God. It wasn't any longer just his staff. It was the staff of God, the representation of God's presence and God's power. He raised it in authority as he prayed, and he interceded on behalf of the people. And God allowed them to defeat this mighty enemy. Now, I can imagine what went down below. You got Joshua, the guy never fought a battle in his life, and now he suddenly won a battle against 100,000, perhaps even more, of the enemy. And they run and they flee, and they're shouting hallelujah. They're running around saying, hey, praise God, we did it, we did it. Oh, high five. Whatever they did back then, elbows or something. But they were shouting and they were celebrating. No, we did it, we're tough guys, we won the battle. And now Moses says this. He says, I want you to be sure to write this down in their records so that Joshua hears it. I want you to read it to him in his hearing what took place on the mountain. Because Joshua did not win the battle in his own strength. He won the battle because somebody was raising the standard, raising the staff, raising the rod of God in prayer. And Moses says, hands were raised to the throne of God. And he says, write this down on a scroll as something to be remembered and make sure Joshua hears it. And he needs to remember that it is not by might nor by power, but by God's Spirit that he defeats the enemy. And it's at that point that Moses builds an altar and he called it, the Lord is my banner. Now back to that original question, where did the banner come in? The banner comes in knowing Hebrew. The Hebrew word for banner comes from the word staff, a rod, a simple stick. But given to God, it becomes a mighty thing that God uses. The idea that Moses was saying is, the Lord is my victory staff. The Lord is the one who wins the battles. The Lord is more powerful than every enemy that comes against us. Victory is not because of the might of chariots and horses and swords and those that fight the battle. The battle is the Lord's, and the Lord fights the battle for us. So when he raised up that staff, he was saying, I am raising up the banner of the Lord. The banner of the Lord is, the Lord gets the credit. The Lord is glorified. As we look through the Old Testament, we'll find that the use of the staff changed from the time of Moses. As a matter of fact, just a few chapters later, they start to call the staff the tribe of Israel, translating the same word as tribe. And I wonder where that came from. It came from Numbers chapter 20, where Moses said, I want you to go to the heads of every tribe, and the head of every tribe is to bring his staff with his name on it and to stand before me. And Aaron is to bring his staff, or the staff of Moses, and stand before me, and God will choose who's the right guy. That idea of the staff representing the tribes was because every leader of the tribe had a staff. As a matter of fact, all men had staffs. They walked with them. Even Jesus probably had a staff that he walked with. Aren't you glad we don't have a replica of that existing today, because everybody would want a piece of it? But he said to the disciples, don't take your staff, don't take your purse. So we know that they had staffs as they walked. Walking sticks is what it is. So as we see this, it develops into the idea of a banner or a flag. The tribes of Israel had to put a banner or a flag on the staff where the head of the tribe held it at the head of the band. There were 12 tribes, and there were thousands in each tribe, and nobody could see the staff unless you lifted it up high, and it had a banner on it. And so they walked around with the banner high and flowing in the breeze, but it was the same idea of the staff. And when Moses says, the Lord is my banner, he's saying, the Lord is my victory banner. The Lord has won the victory, and he gets all the credit. And so we understand now why Moses was saying, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. But there's more to it than that. We need to understand that God has given us many examples that he wants us to trust him to fight our battles. That doesn't mean we don't fight the battles. That doesn't mean that we don't get down with the enemy and fight and do all we can. But it means that we need to remember in every battle that we face, whether it's personal, internal, or external, every struggle that you have, every battle that you have, every fight that you face, every enemy that comes against you, you need to remember that the Lord is on your side. And the Lord is fighting for you. And the Lord will not be defeated. Let me give you a couple biblical examples of that that might help us to understand it. When Moses was standing at the Red Sea, they had just escaped from Egypt. Now they have 2 million people behind them, and they were trapped between the Red Sea and the mountains. Moses didn't know what to do. God hadn't told him what to do. But then Moses started crying out to the Lord, "Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me." Everybody say that. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me. Don't you do that? From time to time, we all do that. We get stumped and we don't know what to do. And we say, "Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me." Moses was probably repeating this over and over. And God said, "Why are you whining to me? Move forward. Put your staff out and part the sea." Duh. And so what's Moses do? He says, "All right." He takes the staff and he holds it over the sea, and waters back up on both sides. Walls of water on both sides. And all night long the wind blows and dries up the ground so that 2 million people can cross over. That's the power of the staff, of obeying God, His command. The battle's not yours, it's the Lord. And the Lord says that to Moses. He says, "The Lord will fight for you. You need to just be still." What a wonderful privilege. What a commandment from God. In many of our battles, we do too much self-fighting, fighting in our own strength. And the Lord says, "You need to be still. You need to stop whining and crying. And you need to stand back and trust the Lord. You need to do like Moses and raise the banner. The battle is not mine. It's God's. God's going to win this battle. Yeah, I can be weak and I can fail, but God does not fail." Then we see that was true with Joshua, because in Deuteronomy chapter 1, God gives instructions to Joshua. He said, "Do not be terrified and afraid of all the enemies that are in the land. For the Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt." The promise is God is going to fight for you. Then we look into the life of David. Remember David, the shepherd boy? He was just a little, probably 15 or 16-year-old boy. Said he was ruddy. He probably had peach fuzz on his chin. And he goes out to the battle. And there's Goliath, 9'6" tall. And he's defying the armies of Israel and defying them every day. He's saying, "Give me a man to fight me. And if you win, we surrender. And if we win, you become our slaves." And the men of Israel, all of the army, all of the great men were terrified. And when David came to visit his brothers, he said, "Why are you afraid? God is with us." And you know the rest of the story. He goes, eventually that story gets to the king. The king calls him in front of him. And David says, "I fought the bear and I fought the lion when I was out taking care of the sheep. And the Lord's going to deliver this uncircumcised Philistine into our hands." And Saul gives him all his armor. And David puts on that armor and it's too heavy. It's too big for him. And he finally takes it off. He says, "I can't fight with that. I got this." And he holds up a little sling. Little sling and stones, and he said, "I'm going to fight with what I'm familiar with. I'm going to fight with the sling and the stone." And then we come to, as David goes out to battle, and it says this in 1 Samuel 17. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty of the armies of Israel who you have defiled. This day the Lord will hand you over to me. I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give your carcass, the carcasses of the Philistines and the Philistine army, to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those who gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into my hands." Isn't that amazing? The little ruddy guy standing up before them. He didn't have any power to defeat the giant, but the Lord had the power. And he gave God that little sling and picked up 5 smooth stones. And someday I'll tell you why 5 smooth stones. And he put one stone in the sling and he ran at the giant that he was, as he was saying this, "The Lord has delivered you into my hands." And he slung the stone and it hit Goliath in the middle of the forehead and he fell down. And David followed through. He cut off his head. and actually captured his sword and kept the sword. It's an amazing story. Not about David. It's about the Lord. That God can do anything through anyone who has the banner of the Lord, who knows the power of the Lord, and knows that God loves to win battles through simple things than through tiny people. Elisha is another example. In 2 Kings, Elisha is surrounded by armies. The army is coming to arrest him because he's prophesied against the king. And they are all around him. His servants look to him and says, "Oh, Elisha, we're going to lose." And he's like one of the whimpering servants. And he started whining and crying and said, "Look at the armies against us. They're going to beat us. They're going to crush us. Elisha, aren't you afraid? And Elisha said, "No, I'm not afraid. Those who are with us are more than those that are against us." And then he prayed. He said, "Lord, open his eyes so that he can see what I see." God opened the eyes of his servant, and his servant looked, and he said, he looked and he saw the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You see, the Lord is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That's part of this truth of the Lord is our banner. And then in 2 Chronicles, Jehoshaphat, same kind of thing. Enemies from three sides came against Israel. They didn't have the might. They didn't have the power. They didn't have the armies to defeat them. And they didn't know what to do. And they started crying out to God. And a prophet said, "Do not fear, for the Lord has delivered them into your hands. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions and stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, for the Lord will be with you." And so it was. Jehoshaphat did what the prophet said. He said, just praise the Lord. Just put up singers to sing and exalt the Lord and watch what happens. And God set ambushments against the enemy. We don't know how he did that, but he did that, and they were all scattered and defeated. Do I need to mention about Joshua and the walls of Jericho? Wow, that's a wonderful story. I'll preach that another time. But a wonderful story of walls that were so huge you couldn't possibly penetrate them or get in. And God says, "I want you to walk around for 7 days. I want you to walk around once a day for 7 days. And on the seventh day, I want you to walk around 7 times. And then I want you to take your pitchers, and I want you to take your horns. I just want you to bust pitchers and blow horns." That's not a very good strategy. But the battle is not yours. It is God's. And so Joshua did that. And on that seventh day, they walked around and then they blew the trumpets and they crashed them. And the walls came tumbling down. God does miracles because he is the one that gives us victory in the battle. The battle is not ours. It is the Lord's. Now I want to give you some practical applications to all of this, because sometimes we can get lost in the confusion of a text. I'm assuming that some of you watch TV or movies. Am I right? Okay. Two of you do. So let me give you an illustration. It's in The Patriot with Mel Gibson. The story of the American Revolution and the fighting that was going down in the southern part of the states. And finally, Mel Gibson finally gets back into the battle, and they go against the enemy that's many more soldiers than they ever had. The reputation of the revolutionaries, of the Americans, was that they were cowards in every battle. They ran every time the enemy came in. And so the enemy was counting on this. They surrounded them. They were on every side. But they set up and they carried a flag. They put the American flag on a banner, on a stick, and they held it high. And as they go into the battle, you see the guy waving the flag, and the army of the revolutionary soldiers is going forward. And then the enemy comes in like a flood and just overwhelms them, and they get scared, and they start to run again. And the guy that was carrying the flag is shot, and he falls down. Mel Gibson picks up that staff and lifts that banner high and holds the American flag high for everyone to see. And he stands on the top of the hill holding it and say, "Do not be afraid. We have won the battle. Forward! Let us go forward!" And he charges into the battle even without his sword and without his gun. And they go forward and they defeat the enemy. Why? Because the banner was held up high. There's a cause that we fight for. There's something bigger than ourselves. And God is with us. And George Washington certainly knew that and prayed that. And so it was with many of the current day battles that are fought by us. Remember the picture of Iwo Jima? 5 weeks of fighting. The Americans lose almost 7,000 men and 21,000 that were wounded. But the enemy lost many more, three times as many. And remember the picture that the photographer took of six Marines going to the top of the mountain and putting down the flag, and the American flag stands there. And as he took that picture, it represented the victory that we have, the victory that we have. I am reading the book Killing Patton by Bill Riley. And I found an interesting passage in there concerning Patton. It was the Battle of the Bulge. They were trying to move their soldiers, moving the tanks, moving all of the against the enemy, who was coming in like a flood and would have overrun them. They make a Custer's last stand on one hillside where many different roads came together, and Patton had to get there to try to rescue the soldiers of the 99th and bring an end to the battle. For 4 days, there's rains and snow and cold weather. Patton, who was a very profane man, very, very gross in some of the things he says, he walks into a chapel, he kneels down at the front of the chapel, and he prays a prayer, and it's recorded in his journal. And he prays a prayer, and he uses a lot of profanity in it, though. But he's saying, God, here we are on the field of battle. You have been with us ever since the beginning. We have won in Italy. We've won in this place and that place. And we have never lost a battle. We've never had to retreat. But here we are facing the enemy that's coming against us. That's much more stronger than we are. And now you've given us 4 days of rain and the roads are flooded. We can't get through. Would you give us some help? And he goes on, I'll say, for Pete's sake, but he doesn't exactly say that. He says, for Pete's sake, where are you, God? We need you. And so he finishes this prayer and says, God, without you, we are lost, and democracy is lost, and Adolf Hitler and all the evils of this world are coming against us. We ask you, Lord, that you would send 4 days of sun and clear weather so we can get through and win the battle. He finished up that. He went back to his office, and they called the chaplain of the Third Army into his office. And he said, sir, he said, I want to ask you a question, chaplain. Are the men praying? And the chaplain said, well, I suppose some of them pray, and all of them pray when they get in the foxholes and they're being bombarded, but I don't know, how much do you want me to know about their prayer life? And he says, I want every man in the Third Army to be praying, and I believe in prayer, and I believe three things to go into any battle. We need preparation. We have to be prepared. We need planning, and we need prayer. And then he sat down with the chaplain and gave him a lesson in the biblical record. He told him about Gideon and about Joshua. And he said, I believe in prayer that no battle can be won without the Lord's assistance. And so I'm calling on you to give a memo to every member of this army, the Third Army, every individual, soldier and officer alike. I want them on their knees praying for victory in this battle. And the chaplain said, well, sir, I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think they're going to pray because I command them to pray. But it would help if you would write down a prayer and command them to pray. And so Patton sat down and he penned a prayer. And the chaplain said, would you sign it, sir? Because that will give it really a lot of authority. And so Patton signed that prayer, and it was sent to every soldier in the Third Army. And every soldier in the Third Army went to prayer. And you know what happened? We defeated the enemy at the Battle of the Bulge because God answered prayer and sent the sunshine and the clear weather that they needed. What a magnificent story of the Lord's help in our time of need. All right, how does this apply to you? How can you use this principle of the Lord is my banner? Remembering that the banner stands for the staff, the walking stick. I did this a number of years ago, preached a message, and challenge God's people that the staff represents the authority of the Lord. The authority of God gives you. He gives you authority in prayer, gives you authority in the promises of God, and he gives you the authority of his presence. So I challenge the people in my church, go out and find a walking stick. Put your name on it and put a name of the Lord on it, or maybe a scripture verse on it. I don't care how rustic and ugly it is, but use the walking stick as a prayer stick. And then go out and do prayer walking and begin to call upon the name of the Lord against whatever battle you're facing, whatever difficulty you're facing. And I challenge them, go out today and find a walking stick. Well, I didn't think any more about that. I came back the next week, and there were 50 walking sticks walking around the church. people really took that to heart, and they went out and found walking sticks. And there were a lot of people that weren't there that Sunday that I preached that, and they said, what are all the walking sticks about? Well, they're about the victory the Lord gives us, that we need to cling to the promise of God. We need to pray with our hands raised to heaven, and we need to know that God has given us a position of victory in Jesus Christ. And so the next week, there were even more walking sticks in church. And that began a process in my own life of creating walking sticks with the names of the Lord and with Scripture on it. And I've given dozens, even hundreds now, to people, and I sell them online. I won't sell them to you because I'm not here to get commerce. But I want to challenge you to go out and get a walking stick. Doesn't matter how big it is, how small it is. It can be an ugly little stick. And you pick that thing up and you clean it off, and then you put the name of the Lord on there. You choose a name of the Lord that's going to represent your prayer before God, and then you start walking around your land or your property and just walk and pray and ask God to give you victory over the power of the enemy. There's power in a walking stick. And I preached this for a number of years. Now, I'm kind of prisoner here because of the microphone, and it has to be on tape or CD. Tapes aren't used anymore. So I'm kind of stuck here, but what I'd like to do is kind of walk around and let you touch the walking stick. Because there's something that comes alive in us when we have a tangible representation of God's promises to us. When we touch something physical, it demonstrates the power of God. That's what Moses was doing, raising his staff to the Lord in prayer and claiming the promise of God, praying the presence of God and the victory of God in that battle. And I want to encourage you to do that in your own life. I have some walking sticks back there at the back. Norm is right next to them. He's going to protect them. He's going to beat you off with a stick if you try to steal them. But they're for looking at, just looking at some of the things that have been done with a walking stick. As I began this many years ago, I decided to make a walking stick representing the name of the Lord and the promises of God to my grandchildren. So God gave me the wisdom to choose every one of my grandchildren, some personal characteristic, and applied some scriptures to that. And one was a mathematician. I did Einstein carved into it with pi out to 144 digits. And, a bunch of other things for him. Another one was a sports fan, so he had ball gloves and athletes all over his. And another one was music and so on. And I gave it to my grandchildren when they came to visit. I was quite proud that I was able to do that. And my son, who at that time was about 40 years old, I imagine, works for ExxonMobil. He's a manager. He's in high up in the ranks. And he stands there looking at it. And after the boys left, he said, Dad, where's mine? Wow, I took it to heart. Here's my adult son saying there's something powerful about the promise of God in a walking stick. So I went to prayer and asked the Lord to give me verses for my son Andrew. And he did. He gave me Isaiah 61. Where he promises that we will be called roots of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. So I made the oak leaves and acorns, got a couple squirrels in it, actually had a knot hole in it, and I created a squirrel, carved him out and put him inside that, and I gave it to my son. I was so proud to give that to my son. I put a lot of hard work into that. Andrew looked at it. Thanks, Dad. Thanks. And then he went back home, and I thought, well, he wasn't too impressed. Because I would have been impressed. But he went away, and a couple days later, I got a phone call from him. And he said, Dad, the guys at work all want to find out how to do a walking stick like that. How did you do it? Tell me how to do that. These are guys that work at ExxonMobil. These are not the factory workers. These are the business guys. These are the intellectuals. These guys with PhDs. And they're saying, I want a walking stick. I want something that I can hold before the Lord and claim the promise of God. So I want to challenge you with the name of the Lord this morning is Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. And you take hold of that banner, that staff, and you lift it to the Lord in prayer. You put promises on it, or you put a scripture text on it, or you put the name of the Lord on it, and you pray that, and you go forward in victory in Jesus' name. Because God has provided us victory when we claim the name of the Lord. Lastly, I want to close with a song that you don't know. And I'm not going to sing it. I'm not going to have you sing it. It's a contemporary song, and that would really offend some of you. But I want you to look it up on the internet if you can. It's called Hello, My Name Is. And I want to read the words to you because I thought it was a powerful song about our position and our authority in Christ. It goes like this. Hello, my name is regret. I'm pretty sure we have met. Every single day of your life, I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right down again till you've lost all belief. And then the response is, oh, these are the voices. Oh, these are the lies. And I have believed them for the very last time. And the chorus goes like this. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. I've been saved. I've been changed. I've been set free. Amazing Grace is the song I sing. Hello, my name is Child of the True King. What a wonderful song of the testimony. This is who I am in Christ. As Moses stood before the enemy, he was claiming, we are children of the Father. We are children of God. And we cannot be defeated because God is on our side. May the Lord give you the victory that you need in your life as you claim Him as your banner. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are. You are so much to us. You have given us so many scriptures and so much truth that we can apply it to our lives, that we can not walk alone, but walk with You and walk with the covering of Your protection. Walk with the promises of God and the knowledge that You hear and You answer our prayers. Lord, we give You thanks for the names of the Lord, and specifically for this name, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Be our banner, Lord. Be our victory song. Be the flag that waves over us. Be all that we need in every battle of life. And Lord, may we win as we trust in You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me as we close? We're going to close with the chorus we've been using throughout this series. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. It's written in your bulletin if you don't already know it. And we trust that you'll sing it together with us. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name. And that's the reason why I love Him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And He's just the same as His lovely name. And that's the reason why I love Him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And now receive the benediction. Remember, I've explained it to you at the beginning of this. The benediction is not just a statement, but it is a pronouncement from God the Father that He gave to the priest to pronounce over God's people. And He said, when you do this, I want you to raise your hands over them. Many of them made the shape of a dove as they did so. They laid their hands over the people. And God said, when you pray this prayer, when you pronounce this blessing over them, I will put my name on them and they will be blessed. Here's the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now go in the name of the Lord and in the power of His might and be victors in the battle over the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you and give you a wonderful week. You're dismissed.